This is Avra interviewing Marge on 6480. Okay, so we thought that we'd focus on the 50s, more or less, in bars tonight. I was wondering, just in general, since we're trying to write about bars, if you had any general statements that you think it's important for lesbians today to know about what gay bars were like in the past. Like, if you were thinking about that we're going to be giving a paper to the gay community on the history of gay bars, is there any one thing that you think we should include or that's most important for people to realize?
No, like I said, there really wasn't, back then, there really wasn't a quote-unquote gay bar. It was bars, like I had told you before, where we just went in and kind of took over and mingled. But, there's one thing I do have to say. Back then, I think we were, when we finally got into a place and were allowed to come into it, I think we were a little more respectful of the property. And I noticed the bar I'm working in now, with the younger crowd and everything, they come in and the place is wall-to-wall carpeted. There's ashtrays on every table. But yet you see them throw them on the carpeting and stamp them out. Mm-hmm. They ripped the bathroom doors off the bathroom, broke the bowl of a toilet, cracked it where we had to have it replaced. I mean, stupid things, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and see, back then we couldn't afford to act like that, because if we wanted to go there, I mean, because they'd say, get the hell out, you know, we don't really need you here. Mm-hmm. But these kids seem to feel that, you know, since it is a gay bar, that they can come in and just, I mean, do things. They act like animals, some of them. They really do. Mm-hmm. They I don't know if they're like this, if it's their upbringing, or if they do the things in the bars that they are allowed to do at home, but I hardly think so. You know. I hardly think so. But,
I'm real interested, and we're real interested in that, of how bars got to be gay bars. Do you know, say, the origin of how a place like Bingo's, girls started going there? Do you know, like, particulars of Chesterfield, Mardi Gras, Pat, Carousel?
No, because, you see, when I started going to the bars, these bars were already open.
Did anybody ever tell you any stories about them? Did people fight for these bars, or did they open as gay bars? Is there anything you know about that?
That I couldn't tell you. I would imagine that back in that time, I doubt if any of them opened as gay bars, and I'm sure that the gays that started them had to fight, you know, to get in there. And because I know even when I came out, you know, I mean, not came out, I've been gay all my life, but when I started to come out into the bars, that we'd fight for bars, you know.
Was Bingo's opened as early as the Mardi Gras in Chesterfield?
Mm-hmm.
It was, and Dugan's and Pat's.
Mm-hmm.
So Bingo's went all the way back to around 1950?
Yeah, it was just a little dinky place.
Right.
But the guy was really nice to the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was all right.
And what about, we're also interested in kind of the different types of bars. Do you remember, was there different kind of people or different clientele in Bingo's than, say, Dugan's or the Mardi Gras in Chesterfield? Or the Carousel?
Yeah, back then I would say that the Mardi Gras, the Chesterfield's, Bingo's, those bars, Dugan's, we're all in the same vicinity, and the kids kind of bar hopped. But I think back then that the Carousel had like maybe a little better clientele. You know, back then it was like the older lesbians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then the younger kids started to go in, you know.
What, do you have any idea why people started going to the, let's talk about the Carousel, because It seems the carousel kind of changes flavor. Do you think that, like at some point, that there's a difference between the early carousel and the late carousel? Or the carousel kind of around 1950 and the carousel 1958?
Yeah, I think it was nicer in the earlier years than it was in the later years.
It was?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they kind of got a little careless in the later years.
What do you mean by careless?
Oh, let too much stuff go on. That's the reason they closed. You know, they were closed to get the charges.
Oh, they did get charges.
Yeah, let too much stuff go on, and they just got careless, you know. I mean, I don't feel particularly that if you go into a bar, a gay bar, and you're gay, that you should, I don't know how to put it, have a bathroom romance, you know, go in the bathroom and meet some chick in the bathroom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do it? You know that this is a bar you have to come to,
mm-hmm.
and if these things go on, the bar is going to get closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you meet somebody, take them home or go to their house or go to a hotel or whatever.
So what you're saying is that in the later days it got more wild?
Yeah.
That there was more kind of overt gay behavior?
Yeah.
People were more open about...
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I see. And do you think this had an effect on its getting closed?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Do you think maybe they would have allowed it to stay open if people hadn't been so openly?
No, but see, in the later years, the carousel, the boys started to come in.
Oh, it used to be just girls?
Well, it was mixed, but it was mostly girls.
Oh, I didn't realize that. When did that change? Do you have... kind of
in the last, maybe the last year and a half that it was open.
So that would have been the late 50s.
That they started, you know, the guys started to come in.
Hmm. So what we have discovered is that people say that mostly when they remember the carousel, the girls were in the back room dancing and whatnot. In the earlier days, would that have meant that girls were in both rooms?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Sure, the back room had tables and a couple of booths. The front, the bar had booths on the side and the bar. I used to spend a lot of time. I liked the bar. I used to spend most of my time in the bar.
Was that unusual?
No, there were all girls sitting at the bar.
So it was only in the last couple of years that it was really got a lot of guys in there, too.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't realize that. It's funny, you know, most of the way people talk about the carousel is that they remember it as a mixed bar.
It was mixed, but it was mostly girls, you know.
That's very interesting. Hmm.
Yeah. See, the boys had the Oasis, Johnny 68. See, those were boys' bars then.
Why do you think guys started coming to the carousel?
I don't know. They had a male bartender there.
At the carousel?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They got a male bartender. I won't mention his name. And the guys just started to come in. And don't get me wrong, I have nothing against the guys. I have nothing against a mixed bar.
Mm-hmm.
I think a mixed bar can be fun, you mm-hmm. know, and a lot more protective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... But it's just that the guys are so, they just don't care. They come out to have a few drinks and find a trick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can make it in the Johns, you know, they will.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Big Daddy's, when Big Daddy's opened. God, that was the worst bar I ever saw in my life. They wanted me, the owner came to I was working at the Villa Capri, and he came in and wanted me to work there. And I refused. Asked me how much I made. Told him I didn't think that was any of his business. And told me he'd double my salary. Because he wanted the girls in there. And I hadn't gone in the bar. Well, I was working quite a bit at the Villa. Almost every night. And then I had a day off. And the girl I was with at the time and a few of my friends. I said, let's go to Big Daddy's and see what it's like. And we went in and it was huge. a really big bar with a balcony, and the ladies' room was upstairs, the dance room was downstairs, the men's room was and downstairs again from the bottom floor, like a basement thing. And I hear that they had orgies going on in the bathroom all the time. Literally had. In fact, I myself can state to the fact that I went to go, I was in there I think twice, and I went to go into the ladies' room and there were two guys having rectal sexual intercourse in the ladies' room. And I walked in and I just looked and I turned around and I walked out, went down to the owner, and I said, could you come with me for a minute? And he said, what's the matter? And he says, I'm busy. And I said, well, I really think you ought to see this. So he came because he was interested in my working there, and he came up and went into the ladies' room and looked. Now, if it were my bar, I'd say, get the hell out and don't come back, you know. Mm-hmm. And he just said, oh, come on, guys. This is the ladies' room, you know. He said to the guy, put your pants up. He said, come on, let's all go down and have a drink together, you know. And I said, you got to be kidding. That's all you got to say? And at another time, sitting up in the balcony, I was shooting pool with some of the girls the second time I was in there. And my friend that I was with at the time didn't shoot pool, and she was sitting at the railing of the balcony looking down at the dance floor watching them dance, and all of a sudden she started to choke. I mean, literally, and we thought that, you know, the drink went down the wrong way or something, and we're hitting her on the back, and she's going, you know, pointing, and I kept going, what's the matter, what's the matter? And finally she got her breath, and she said, look. And I said, what? And I looked down, and right at the end of the bar, at the bottom of the stairs, the last two stools, there was a guy. One guy,
yeah,
you know, masturbating. The guy sitting next to him, and I says, "Well, I don't really believe this." And I said, "Let's get out," you know. And we left. I never went back.
Did that place ever get closed?
Oh God, I kept telling him, the owner, this bar is not going to last. He said, "Why?" I said, "If you think I'm quitting where I'm working, and that I've been there, you know, 3 years at the time to come and work for you for 3 months," I said, "You're crazy." And he said, what do you mean 3 months? I said, this bar is going to close. This bar. And sure enough, I think it lasted maybe 4 or 5 months.
Did that seem to be kind of just a significant factor if you allowed too much kind of openly, well, this was sexual behavior, you know. If you allowed too much of that, then for sure you would get closed. But maybe if you had people kind of, like you said, be more respectable, then
yeah,
maybe you could get by.
Certainly.
Oh, I see.
That bar, what was that movie that was out with Al Pacino?
Cruising?
That bar was the closest that I've ever seen. You know, the bars they showed in that movie, Big Daddy's. I did afterwards. I heard we weren't supposed to see it, but, you know,
yeah,
it was too late. I thought, you know. And,
I know lots of people.
I knew it was about, I have to be honest, I think I'd have went to see it anyway because I knew it was about gay bars.
Uh-huh.
And gay bars have been my life.
Right.
Gay bars have been very good to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, for all my life, that's where I worked. I think I would have wanted to see it anyway.
Uh-huh.
But the movie itself shocked me, the goings on, you know. And Big Daddy's was about the closest here in Buffalo that I'd ever seen, where they'd be dancing on the dance floor and opening their flies, the guys I'm speaking of, and one guy with his hand, and, you know. It was really disgusting. I mean, if you were sitting there drinking, and he wanted the girls, but, you know, how could you, you know, just sit there and watch the stuff, you know?
Well, from your experience in bars, does it seem like bars got more openly gay as you got more into the 60s?
Oh, yeah.
What we seem to have found, what people have told us, and we've pieced together from newspaper articles and stuff, is that there seems to be many more raves in the 60s than in the 50s. And many, the life of bars is much shorter in the 60s. You know, that they only stay open for very short periods of times, rather than the 50s you have bars that stay in the whole decade.
Yeah, because in the 50s they weren't gay bars. They weren't known as gay bars. It was just gays who infiltrated them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But like, there's no reason that a bar can't be run gay and run for a long time if it's run and supervised right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if I want to go out and have a few dances with my girl and a few drinks, I'll go to a gay bar if I want to make love or have a romantic evening. I'll stay home with her and have a few drinks and put on the stereo, you know, or go into a bar and put, you know, that's ridiculous.
Well, what about a place like the 132 where you worked and that place got closed? Did it get too wild there?
That place got closed because they served a minor, a girl that also she was a plant.
Yeah.
And she also closed the Chesimay down, mm-hmm. that used to be on Delaware Avenue, and quite a few bars, and came into the 132. And then, you know, reported it, you know,
yeah.
Where's the bar she was...
I saw a newspaper clipping, but
yeah.
I'll show you after.
Yeah.
So that they also could set up places,
yeah.
too, that they wanted to close.
Yeah, they send her in, and in fact, she was in jail, they arrested her. And I don't know if they arrested her for protection or whatever at the time. But she spent her birthday in jail, and I hear they threw her a big, you know, they had a big cake for her and everything else in jail, you know.
Mm.
So I think she was more or less put there for protection.
Mm.
Because a lot of people, including myself, were out to pound her head, you know, back then, you know.
Was she somebody that people had known, or she just came from nowhere?
Came from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Came from nowhere. I mean, I worked there now. If I didn't have known, I'd have known she would have been underage, you know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So it seems they can set up places too to get them closed.
Well, sure, just like they tried to close the Kyle when I was working there, when they came in and arrested me, you know.
You were arrested? When was this?
I think I don't know what year was the Kyle open. Right after, shortly after the Eagle Inn. With Bob Lucci, who owned the Eagle Inn. Shortly after that closed, he kept saying, "Don't find a job, hang on, I'm going to get another bar. So one of the Raddus brothers owned the Cayo, and he went in and with him, you know, and to make it gay, but it was on North in Michigan or something, in the black section. And it was a rough bar. And we had to fight for that bar, but we had to fight the blacks because, I mean, I can't really blame them. It was their bar. We went in, we took over, you know.
Ah.
And it was, when I say fight, I mean fight, club, stick, bats, you know.
Oh.
They would come in on the weekends, you know, and there'd be real battles.
Was that mostly women or mixed or what?
The bar was mixed.
So both guys?
Yeah, guys and girls.
Women
fought? The women and the guys fought, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they fought the straight blacks, you know, because we took over their bar, you know.
When you say, like, fight for a bar, how many fights does it take to get a bar?
Well, the Cayo, every weekend for the longest time, you know, it didn't stay open that long, you know, then like I said, they came in one night and they came up to me and they asked if what my name was, and I told them. No, I don't know how to tell you this without saying my name. Is it all right to say my name and it'll be blacked out or what?
Yeah, I can take it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They came in and they said, "Are you Marsh Thomas?" And I said, "Two of the biggest vice cops I've ever seen in my life."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah." They said, "You're under arrest." And I thought, well, I started to laugh. I said, "You're kidding." And I knew them, you know, and I said, "You're kidding me." And he said, "No, you're under arrest." I said, "Well, what for?" He said, "Serving a minor." I said, "But I didn't serve a minor." I said, "We have somebody on the door." We had, a cop on the door, or one of these run-a-cops or whatever the hell it is, checking proof.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Now, if they got in here, go arrest him. Don't arrest me.
Mm-hmm.
He's checking the proof."
Mm-hmm.
They said, "You serve the drink." And I said, they said the girl was sitting at a table with a drink in front of her. I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "But in this type of a bar, it's a people table hop."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "The girl, you know, might not have been drinking and might have been talking to somebody, might have been in here with somebody who was old enough to drink, you
mm-hmm.
know." And I found out later who the girl was, and she was in there, but she was drinking Coke. She never drank.
Mm-hmm.
The girl she was with drank. She drank Coke. Well, they table hopped, and she was sitting at a table with a drink in front of her talking to somebody. It wasn't her drink, see? Mm-hmm. And they took me downtown, and they didn't... And when they took me out of there and got me in the car, they said, "Hi, how you been, Marge?" And all that. I said, "You know, it's pretty nice. You pulled me out of there, you know." And they told me not to worry about it. You know, they just wanted to get a mark on the bar and read it. They didn't fingerprint me, or they didn't take my picture.
Did you have to stay in jail?
For about 5 hours, 6 hours.
And the bail?
Yeah, they told me $200 bail. And I had the money on me, and I didn't know at the time I couldn't pay my own bail. So I said, "Well, if I can't pay my own bail, I have to. Where am I going to get somebody to pay my bail?" I said, and he said, "You're allowed to make a phone call." So I called the bar, mm-hmm. and the guy that was bartending, who was a gay guy, he was cracking up when they took me out of there, because when they were taking me out, the girl I was seeing at the time, because I was. Back then, you dressed a little more boyish than you do now, you know. Uh-huh. I had nothing of a girl on, you know. Nothing. Well, underpants, you know, bra, you know. Uh-huh. But she came running up to me and handed me her purse and said, "Here, Marge, I forgot your purse." And she handed me this huge purse, and I didn't even know how to carry the damn thing, you know. And the bartender was cracking up, he said, because there I stood looking at this purse, and what the hell to do with it, you know. He said, so I held it like you would a football, if you were running with the football, you know. And I thought, what if they're looking here? I don't know, this isn't even my purse, you know. Uh-huh. But they didn't, they let me make a phone call, and like I said, I called, and the gay bartender answered the phone, rather. And I said, you know, "Michael, is Bob there?" And he cracked up laughing. And he said, "Are they beating you?" You know. I said, "Michael, this isn't funny." I said, "No, come on, it's Bob there." And so he was, you know, acting up and carrying on. And so finally the detective took the phone out of my hand. And he said, "If you think this is funny, it isn't. We're going to lock her up, you know." He said, "Now, she's got one phone call and one phone call only. If you mess this phone call up for her, she doesn't get another one." So he went and got Bob out of the office in the back, and Bob was fuming when he got on the phone. He said that, see, Radis was there, Tony Radis at the time that owned the bar, mm-hmm. and he said he should have never let them take me out of there.
You were the only one they arrested.
Yeah, yeah, because I was known, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "What's the bail?" I said, $200. He said, "Sit tight, I'll, you know, be there." So they did lock me up. They asked me a few questions. They locked me up. They took me. I was at police headquarters downtown. And they took me in this room with this matron. And she said, I'd never been arrested. But like I said, they didn't fingerprint me or take my mm-hmm. picture. Mm-hmm. And they told me, "Don't worry, you know, we're not going to fingerprint you or mm-hmm. anything." He said, "But we have to hold you in order to, you know, to get a mark against the bar." So I went in and the matron said, "Empty your pockets," and I emptied my pockets, and she saw all this money and said, "What are you doing with all this money?" I said, "What do you mean, what am I doing with it? It's mine." I said, "I worked for it." So she counted it, she's in front of me, you know, and you know, wrote down everything I had, took my jewelry off, and I signed my name, and they put it all in like a big envelope and seal it. And she asked me to strip.
Oh, no.
I said, "What?" She said, "Strip." And I said, "What do you mean, strip?" So she said, "Take your clothes off." I said, "What for?" I said, "Am I going to be arrested, or am I going to take a bath?" I mean, you know. And she started to laugh, and she said, "You have to strip." So I said, "Well, why? If you tell me why, what you're looking for, if I, you know, I..." And so she said, "Narcotics." And I said, "Narcotics?" And I said, "I don't use this stuff." She said to me, have you ever been arrested before?" I said, "No." And she said, "You don't use this stuff?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, I'm looking at you, you don't look like you use this stuff, you know," which I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, "Okay, I'm going to take you at your word." Mm-hmm. So she took me, they locked me in a cell. And there I sat. In fact, I stood. I was afraid to sit.
Why?
It was so, it was so, a little toilet in one corner, a cat, you know, I didn't know it was dark. It was at night. The lights weren't on. I didn't know what the hell was in there. I just stood. I paced a little bit. And she said to me when she locked me in, don't worry, though. You know, I'm sure somebody will get you out soon. And maybe about 5 hours later, she came and opened the door and said, somebody's here to pay your bail. But it was the first and last time I was ever in a jail.
So did you have to go to court for
that? Went to court 3 times and the arresting officers never showed up. So the third time, and got in touch with the girl who supposedly I had served the drink to. And she said she was really upset about the whole thing. And her and the girl that she was with and her mother came to court all 3 times. She was going to testify that she only drank Coke, and her mother was going to testify that they had a bar at home and that she had free access to alcoholic beverage at home if she wanted it, and she didn't touch it at home, you know. Why would she go out, you know, and drink? She never drank at home. But the third time they didn't show up, and finally my lawyer said, now these people have been taken out of work 3 times to come as witnesses, Your Honor. The arresting officers haven't showed up. And so he, you know, dismissed it. And then I said, asked my lawyer to ask if I had a police record then, because, you know. So he said, Your Honor, my client is worried about, you know, her character being damaged or having a police record. She's never had any record before, anything against her or anything. So the judge called me up to the stand and he said, were you fingerprinted? I said, no. He said, was your photo taken? I said, no. He said, then you have no record. And apparently it was true, because after that I drove cab, and to drive cab you have to go up to, and they have to check your records. You know, like if you have any kind of a record, you can't drive cab. You can't get a hacker's license. And my record was clean, so it was just a thing to get a mark on the bar, and I'm the one they picked, you know?
What do you mean? What does that mean, get a mark on the bar? So that they could eventually close it?
Close it, yeah.
Oh, I see. So it's just to say, to build up a record against it. Oh, and then they can come in.
Yeah.
This is the Buffalo Police Device Squad?
Was
it difficult to get a lawyer because it was a gay bar that you were in, or didn't lawyers care?
I didn't get the lawyer. They got the lawyer for me, the owner.
The owner.
Yeah. I guess it was their lawyer, you know. Because, I mean, he had more at stake than I did. I wasn't really arrested, but he knew they were out to get him, you know, to close his bar, which eventually they did.
On what charge, do you remember?
No, because I left before the bar was closed.
Do you remember on what charges most bars have been closed on? Serving undesirables, or sale of minors, or disorderly conduct?
Well, the law used to state that no bar can serve homosexuals because they were undesirable characters. Of course, it's changed a lot since then. But that most of the bars were closed because the vice cops used to come in and say they were propositioned in the bars, you know, by another. And it was always the guys. Always the guys, you know. Or that somebody tried to make out with them in the gym, or, you know.
Okay. I have some, can we go back a little bit to, let's see, around getting to the 50s again and Bingo's Carousel, Mardi Gras, Chesterfield, all Dugan's Cats. So, with the same people.
The Mardi Gras and Pats was the same bar.
Oh,
you realize
it
was? It was Pats, and then it became the Mardi Gras.
With Pats. Yeah, I think I remembered that, but I forgot that. But that now that reminds me. Do you remember approximately when it becomes the Mardi Gras? Pats becomes the Mardi Gras? Do you have any idea?
Not very good at remembering years.
It's hard to
see it. I think it was Pat's when I came out to the bars, started to go to the bars. I think it was Pat's for maybe a couple of years, and then they changed it. They remodeled it, put in a circular bar, you know, and really made it nice. Because the guy was making money on the girls and could afford to do this then, you see. I mean,
So it wasn't a dump.
When it was passed, it was.
But was, when it was
Mardi Gras, it was remodeled. And he did this, he could afford to do this on the money he was taking in from the girls, you know. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Anybody today that opens a gay bar is out for the buck because they know that's where the buck is.
Uh-huh.
These kids go out and these kids spend money. Mm. And they have to have a place to go. And, you know, these people that turn their bars gay are out to make the buck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, myself, if I were going to open a bar and I weren't gay, I have gay people in my family and had been aware of the gay bars and